Let's take our Bibles this morning. We're going to go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 24, and continue a mini-series in David's life, centering on the heart of David. The Lord said before David ever became king, and in fact, before we ever knew his name, that he was a man after God's own heart. The Lord looked for him, and he found him. You will not find in David an amazing, sinless, spotless heart, but you will find a man after God's own heart. Last week we talked about the broken heart. This week I'd like to direct our attention to the pure heart. Psalm 24, verse number 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. In verse 3, we have a question. Who can get close to God? And the answer is found in verse 4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. The word pure means unmixed, unadulterated, homogeneous, something that is total and complete. We often think of it as clean, and certainly it is clean. Pure is clean, but it means something that is unmixed. And we know instinctively in the back of our minds that something that is impure is that which contains unwanted substance of some kind. Something that we don't want has been added to possibly what we do want and has made it impure. Think about water, pure water. Have you ever thought about what is in the water that you drink? The people in Flint have. Back in 2014 to 2016, instead of going to the city sewerage and water commission to get their water, they decided to tap into the river. And the river, of course, was contaminated and had elevated levels of lead in it. And it was dangerous. But now, instead of being filtered, it is being directly delivered to people's homes through the pipes. And, of course, there were dozens of people that got sick and killed 12 people. And as a result, of course, we all had to go on boil advisories, and we had to drive. I think we drove to California to get our water, and we were able to find some, thankfully. But it's amazing how just something simple as water, when it is not pure, causes a great problem. And, of course, the water now is safe. I talked to the mayor in Flint this morning, and he said that it's safe. He said, we're back in business. And I don't trust the guy, I tell you the truth. But, no, they've replaced. They said tens of thousands of pipes in Flint to come up to the proper code. So the water that was... The problem was not the water, if you know what I'm saying. The problem was the lead in the water. Not supposed to put lead in your body, right? That's why I never chew a pencil, even though it's not lead. I just don't want to get anywhere close to that. I'm very, very concerned about these things. And lead paint, man, my kids were raised on it, but it's not healthy. It has not done good things for them, I can tell you that. But lead, of course, is a dangerous thing. Now, so the problem is not lead in general. Lead is a good thing. It helps our tires stay on the road. Amen. The problem is not that the water was bad. The water was good. What made it contaminated water was something mixed into the water. So we're talking about water that's pure. What we mean is water that is unmixed with anything else. Now, it may not be a harmful chemical that gets added into the water, but even if it's not harmful, it's still not pure water, because pure water means nothing mixed in. How about pure 100% beef? Can I get an amen for that? It's getting close. It's getting close, isn't it? And believe me, by the time we're done, your hunger will have come and gone. It'll be gone. A hunger for anything. You'll be comatose by the end of this message. But have you ever thought about what's in your meat? I'm sure that you have. There was a time in American history when there would be chemicals like borax and formaldehyde in the meat to combat rot and combat the putrefaction. They'd put these things in here to preserve the meat. And this was a common practice. There was a huge flap of it, around it in back in the early 1900s. And so Teddy Roosevelt, our president, he signed two bills on the same day. One was called the Federal Meat Inspection Act, and one was called the Pure Food and Drug Act. And they were trying to avoid poisonous red dyes being put into apples to make them look ripe and delicious. And I'm thankful that they did. And we like, as Americans, we like to complain about our food. We like exposés about the food and, you know, supersize me, things like that. We want to make sure that we're not getting contaminated through our food. And, of course, there is something out there that we sometimes, it comes, they say it comes and goes. Something called lean, finely textured beef, otherwise known as pink slime. And it's called that because it literally comes out like soft serve. This is what hot dogs are made out of, right? And there was a tanker supposedly in Pennsylvania this past week that that crashed and spilled a bunch of pink goo and slime all over the highway. And I think it might still be there. If you're hungry, you could run back and get it. But it literally comes out like soft serve, and it is it's made up of all the stuff left over, you know, from the beef. It's beef, okay? It's beef. But it's pink slime, too. And, you know, before we get on our high horse, I don't think most of us really know what's in our food. And at some point, you're hungry, you're going to eat it, right? I would not say no to a hot dog if I was hungry. I'm not that big of an elitist. But it is interesting when you start thinking about, I want pure food. What we mean is we want nothing else mixed into it. That's what pure means. It means unmixed, unadulterated, total, complete, homogeneous. It is by itself, stand alone. That's all it is. It's authentic. It's just good. Nothing bad added into it. And again, the entire product doesn't have to be disgusting in order for something to be impure. It is the addition of something disgusting that makes that which is pure impure. Purity is very important to us as far as what we put into our bodies, but how much more should we consider what is inside? What is already there, the purity of the internal. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to look at, we're going to go to Psalm chapter 5, verse number 4. I'm going to read some verses to you about purity from God's standpoint. Because in order to have a pure heart, you have to first recognize that purity comes from God. God is pure. The Bible tells us in Job, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. God looks at the heavens and says, it needs a bath. Look at Psalm 5, verse 4. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Notice that God's hatred extends beyond iniquity to the workers of iniquity. And isn't it interesting? I look at that and I easily see that God would hate some people. Certainly not me. But I'm sure he would hate other people that are workers of iniquity. But may I remind you that I'm not the standard of that which is pure. God is the standard. He determines what is pure and impure. Why? He created the whole thing. God made it. God allowed man to have a choice. Man chose to walk away from God, which is the definition of impurity. God plus something else. Anything else. Even righteous or spiritual or religious things. God and who God is plus anything else equals impurity. Look at Psalm 11, verse number 4. Psalm 11, verse number 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. You ever have a time when your mom or dad was upset with you and they're talking with you and they close their eyes? It was not because they were tired. They were tired of you. And they were trying to formulate something that they were going to say to you. And they had to get their thoughts together. I imagine God sitting on his throne and his eyelids are closed and he is considering mankind. He goes on to say in verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. I can't believe in a God who would hate. Well, then you can't believe the God of the Bible. Because this is what he said. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. He likes to keep things clean. He likes to sweep the floor. He likes things put where they're supposed to be. And he likes dishes washed and not left over with all kinds of the tidbits from last week's meals. He doesn't like things growing in the refrigerator. He doesn't like a bunch of nastiness in the bathroom. He doesn't like oil spills all up and down the driveway. He doesn't like junk piled in the yard so we can't even see the house. Well, I have a right to... Yeah, you do. But may I remind you that the concept of purity comes from God. And God is not even as concerned, anywhere near as concerned, at the external as he is the internal. If you're like me, sometimes when I'm asked to help clean up the house, I have to rethink of how do we do this most efficient way. And typically the most efficient way is with a bulldozer. You just push things all into the closet and you close the door. So we know that the house is now clean, right? But the problem with that, of course, is it's not really clean. You open the door and you die. That sometimes is the way we think about our lives. As long as you don't think I'm unclean, then I am not unclean. As long as you think I'm pure, then I'm pure. But God is the one who defines purity. If you would, go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Over and over again, we find that the Lord is pure. Habakkuk tells us, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Psalm 12 says, the words of the Lord are pure words. Psalm 111, holy and reverend is his name. So it is the purity of God to which we must look if we are going to determine what purity is. You may say, well, I want to live a pure life, and this is what I do or don't do. And I could have my own list. But at the end of the day, both of us could be wrong. Because it is the purity of God that we must first consider. The Bible uses the word pure first in Exodus. We won't take the time to go there. But it's used 31 different times in connection with the tabernacle. Can anyone guess what the word is? Pure as an adjective. What's the noun that follows that? Anyone have an idea? Gold, that's right. Pure gold. And he mentions that multiple times. Other things are mentioned, as such as pure oil and frankincense and so forth. But gold, over and over again, is used. And he uses that in the first place it's used is in connection with the Ark of the Covenant. the meeting place of man with God. It's made out of wood, and it's overlaid with gold, and it has a crown of pure gold around it. And the staves thereof, there's rods that are put, poles that are put through the four corners to carry it. That's made of wood, overlaid with gold. And then you have the table of showbread that's also made out of gold. The spoons and the covers and the implements that are used within that, made out of pure gold. And then you have, in addition to that, the candlestick with the seven branches, made out of pure gold. All of these things in the Holy of Holies, in the holy place, and in the Holy of Holies. Now, as you get outside in the Ark of the Tabernacle of the children of Israel that carried this around in the desert, you would encounter other types of metal, such as brass. And yet, we find that in God's eyes, the word pure and gold are mentioned together. The reason I bring that up to you is because, again, we understand the concept of gold, and we seek for pure gold. We look for 24-karat gold, if anyone here can afford that. Right? It's amazing how much value we put on it. And why is it valuable? Well, there's various reasons. I think that gold reminds us of God. In English, it's just one letter off. You think about gold, it does not rust. It's resistant to corrosion and to oxidation. It can be tarnished, but it does not affect the metal itself. You've got the quality of resistant to disease. It's antimicrobial, they say that gold is. Purity is introduced in Scripture in connection with the worship of God and proximity to God. Now, we're taking a little time. It may feel like a science class this morning, but the purpose is I'm trying to help you understand the definition of purity is connected with God. The closer that you are to God, the purer you are. Moses found this in Exodus chapter 4 when God called him out of the bush, and he called him and said, and Moses said, "Here I am." And he began to approach God, and God said, "Take off your shoes, for the place whereon thou standest is what? Holy ground." The closer you get to God, the more holiness is required. Why? Because God is holy. God is pure. In fact, the first mention of the word holy is in the book of Exodus. God is taking a group of people out of Egypt, a type of the world, and he is bringing them through the Red Sea. And he is baptizing them unto Moses. He is bringing them into the leadership of Moses. And he is saying, "I want to bring you out." It's a type, if you will, of being married, of being brought out of a former life into a new life under the direction of someone and in a relationship with that person to be purified. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about how Christ purifies and sanctifies and washes the church with the washing of water by the word. God is trying to make his people, has always been, holier and purer. And so he brings them out. Interesting thing about gold is that it is very malleable. I watched a video on YouTube of a man with a bar of gold. It was kind of like almost a rod, a square rod. And he took it and he could easily bend it with both hands. It's very malleable. It's soft. They say that a fingernail could scratch pure gold. I don't know. I don't think I've ever handled pure gold myself. But that is the reason why they add in. So my ring is not pure gold. It's much more durable because they'll add things like zinc or other alloys into it to toughen it up and strengthen it. But pure gold is not, they say, is, I believe as close as they can get is 99.999. The five nines, as close as you can get to pure gold. And what's the purpose of that? Its value is increased by its purity. And the reason why, I believe, is because the closer it gets to pure, the more it approximates the purity of God. God is holy and God is pure. You ever see the old movies where the pirates would get gold and they would bite it? Supposedly that is to determine whether it was really gold. If it was pure gold or close to it, it was malleable. You could bend it. Gold is the only metal that's mentioned before the fall of man, and it's the only metal that's mentioned at the end. The New Jerusalem also has gold, the streets made of gold. And so when we think about this, God is bringing his people out, and he is showing them that he is God and that he is holy. In fact, when Moses went up into the mount, he went alone. The people did not want to go up because they were afraid. Why was Moses not afraid? I believe it was because Moses had been near to God. He had been educated by God that God was holy and pure, and God wasn't going to kill you, but he also was not going to leave you mixed. He wants us to be unmixed. When the people of Israel went out of Egypt, the Bible says a mixed multitude went up with them. And you know what God said in Deuteronomy chapter 6? He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One Lord." And then he goes on to say, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy," what's the word? "Heart." That's a pure heart. He said, "I'm bringing you out of Egypt that gives you hundreds of gods to serve, all kinds of different ways to enjoy your flesh. I'm bringing you out of that, and I'm going to be one Lord to you. And I want you to be separated unto me." You see, purity is not just me saying no to things. It's me saying yes to a pure and holy God. If you forget that, like the nation of Israel did, you will focus on external purity while ignoring the most important thing that God's after is your heart. He wants a pure heart. A pure heart. So to have a pure heart, I must first recognize that God himself is pure. And since God is pure, secondly, I must be pure if I would be near him. Purity is proximity. Proximity to God. Because the human heart naturally moves away from God. I don't know if you're like me, but I would suspect that if you breathe oxygen into your lungs, you're kind of like me. Now, maybe some aquatic species here, I don't know. But if you're like me, I don't have to work at forgetting to read my Bible. I don't have to work at doing my own thing. I don't have to wake up in the morning and say, "Now listen, we've given God a lot of time. Let's think here. What would make me happy? Let me think." I don't have to think. I know what I want. I wake up and I naturally do what I want. It requires work for me to move towards God. Purity. Now, believers, I'm talking to you. I am not talking to someone that doesn't have Jesus Christ already inside. Because that is something, and we'll see here later, that is an act that God performs on behalf of a wicked sinner. He saves people. They do not save themselves. But once we are saved, it is not that we somehow earn God's favor, but because of that old nature, we naturally move away from God. So to be pure, we have to be near God. Remember, impurity is when something else gets mixed in to that which is pure, and it becomes impure. Take your Bibles and go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse number 8. Purity is a prerequisite for nearness with God. Did you ever have your mother or your wife say to you, "Don't come in here with those dirty shoes"? They adopt some kind of a weird voice specifically for that instance. "Don't you come in here. I just cleaned the floor. Don't you get those muddy boots off." You know what they're saying? "You can't get close to me or this house with that filth on." I've known people in the past that worked, in stockyards, pig farms, the whole nine yards. And of course, I'm sure you've heard of the classic ones where the guy has a shower outside and he's not allowed to come in the house until he takes a shower and removes all of his clothing. Why? Have you ever been near a stockyard? You ever smelled pigs? Unbelievable. How do they make that stuff? They do. It's horrible. And you have to get rid of that stuff if you're going to be around polite company. Unless everybody smells like pigs, and the farmers will say, "Smells like money to me." And yeah, that's true. But we can make money other ways as well. I can tell you that. It doesn't stink quite as bad. But I love bacon. I love bacon. So thank the Lord. But purity means purity is a prerequisite for proximity, for nearness. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, look at James chapter 4. He says in verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We're supposed to draw nigh to God, but we can't draw nigh to God if our hands are dirty and our heart has not been purified. Notice that in this case, it tells us that that the heart being dirty is being double. We're supposed to be single-hearted. We're supposed to be focused on the Lord. We're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. But when we add something else into that, we end up with a double heart. So now, we love God, but we also kind of love other stuff. I'm not here to tell you that you can't enjoy a hamburger and a hot dog. I'm telling you that a hamburger and a hot dog should never approach getting anything like your whole heart. The things that we enjoy as Americans, we sometimes wonder, as believers in America, how much of this can I enjoy? Let me ask you a better question. How much of this can you allow if you're going to be close to a holy God? Now this, I understand. I don't want to just tell you, I could, and I thought about it, stop doing bad stuff. You guys are bad. Stop it. Listen, your heart's the same as my heart. It will always, that old nature, that Adamic nature, the first man, Adam, he was of the earth, earthy. That is in me, that is in you. It's never going to change. But I am not saved. I am not a child of God because one day I decided to give up my drinking and my smoking and stop my chewing and stop running around with people that were wicked. That's not why I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God because he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He came into his own. His own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he was buried, and he rose again. I believe that, and I believe he died for my sin, and that he paid for my sin. He went into the ground proving that he really paid the penalty for my sin. He died, and then he came up from the grave proving that he was God. And I put my faith in that work, and because of that, I'm saved. You know what's great about that? There's a part of me that has never sinned. That's the new nature of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never sinned. Jesus is in me. There's a part of me that's never sinned. If you're saved, there's a part of you that's never sinned. You don't need to purify Jesus Christ because he's already pure. He's the holy, harmless Son of God. And what a blessing that is to remember. But what I'm talking about to you today is practical holiness, daily sanctification. Because you have Jesus Christ does not mean you don't have your old nature. They both living in there. They're both in there right now if you're a child of God. Which one do you identify with more on a daily basis? Which one has captivated the interest of your heart this week? Jesus or this world? Believers, the process of sanctification is me getting geeked out about Jesus, for lack of a better phrase. It's me getting excited and interested in the Son of God. That's what sanctification is. Because he is holy. When I get interested in him, I'm holier than my old nature normally wants to be. My old nature says, can't we go out and do something fun? Can't we search for something that's fun? Can't we just do something for me? That's the old nature. It has a really weird voice. And I say, well, I mean, the Bible doesn't say we can't. Sliding slowly this way. Well, I still believe in Jesus. Thank the Lord. Your salvation was never dependent on you stopping your sin. It was dependent on you trusting his payment for your sin. He saved you. But believer, don't wonder why you feel impure if you're constantly looking for ways to do stuff and get away from the Lord, like, why can't I? That's impurity. Why? Because Jesus Christ never committed a sin. He is pure and holy. He will always be that. But you and I, on our day-to-day life and our decisions, we make a decision whether or not we want to hang out with Jesus or we want to hang out with our flesh. And it happens all day, every day. So what happens is this. We know that we're pure and holy in Christ. We know that salvation is secure. But on a daily basis, we decide whether or not we want to be near to purity itself or whether we want to pull away. Here, James said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You might say, well, I just don't feel like, I mean, this God thing. Like, I know that it's true, but, like, I don't really get it, and I don't really feel like it's really true. Like, sometimes I doubt. Sometimes I don't have faith. Sometimes I'm bored with the whole church thing. You're not alone or unique if you think that way. You're human. And that's what every old nature. Now, some people, they couch their old nature in self-righteousness. That's what the Pharisees did. They made it look like they were really good on the outside. That's just as far from God as wickedness. In fact, it's pride. It's saying, I will be my own God. But for most of us, we're not hating God. We're just not close to him like we used to be. His opinions, his perspective and his desires for us are not really top of mind. We just have our own thing going. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 7. We often associate that purity with the external, but the Lord insists that purity is on the inside. And I want you to see in Matthew 7, while you're going there, let me read Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Look at Matthew, forgive me. It is Mark. It is Mark. These glasses are necessary. Mark 7, verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. Here he's going to quote from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Do you see the inward purity? They're concerned with unwashed hands in verse 5, but he said, yeah, you're clean on the outside. You're making the right statements. But where's your heart? Look at verse 18. They have questions about this, and he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. Purging, notice, cleansing, purifying. Stuff goes in, and then it goes out, and it rids your body of that so it doesn't hurt you. He says in verse 20, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. They're worried about the dietary laws, can't eat certain things, because if you eat that, you'll be defiled. He says, yeah, but what about the nasty factory in your heart that's producing junk all the time? You may not be putting bad things in, but what about the factory that continually produces sin inside? You see, that is the problem. We want to say that purity is external, so that we can say, I don't do that. Well, at least I don't do that. Well, I don't go there. I know people, I heard somebody say recently, well, at least I'm not, and they fill in the blank. What does that mean? That means that you're comparing yourself to what you know is wrong, and you consider to be unclean and defiled. I'm not that, so therefore I'm pure. The Lord says, it's not external, it's internal. You are literally pumping out junk out of your heart all day long. What kind of junk? Look what he says. Verse 21, from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. Your impurity does not come from the sin in this world. It comes from your own heart. It comes from your heart's desire to sin. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of what? Advertisement. No! He's drawn away of his own lust. The reason why the billboard works is because of your heart. What's in your heart wants what's on that thing. You watch something on television and you know it's wrong, but your heart, the old nature, is drawn to it. Christian, you are two different people. You are a schizophrenic. And listen, if you try to say, okay, that's it. I'm settling. This is who I am. Be careful. Because you'll go the wrong direction. As a believer, you have two natures, the old and the new. And the old nature never got saved. That's why I don't trust anybody, including myself. I don't care how godly they are, how many years they've been serving God, because the heart of men is a factory of sin, and it pumps it out all day, every day. And the only answer is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only way you can live a holy and pure life. Well, I'm trying to stop. You're trying to stop a heart? Just like your physical heart pumps blood, and ain't nobody trying to stop that. Your spiritual heart is pumping out sin. And it cannot be stopped. Thank God it can be controlled. Thank God it can be, you can be victorious against that heart. But it never stops. They used to say in basketball, you can't beat him, you can only hope to contain him. And that's the same true with your heart. You can't stop it, you can only hope to contain it. And believe me, the power of Jesus Christ is well capable of stopping that heart from affecting you. But it never stops producing. The only way that you can avoid being impure because of that heart, that sin factory called your heart, the only way is to be close to God. Well, I'm trying to quit sin. I'm trying. You know, I'm struggling. I still have my things, blah, 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 blah. And I get it. In your heart, you're going to continue doing that. You need to run to God and say, God, help me. I'm trying to clean up my life, but I have a heart that's wicked. God, you're going to have to help me clean my heart and purify it. Lord, I can't do it myself. And God will assist you. I'll show you in just a minute. Purity is being near to God. Impurity is having God diluted and added to the bunch of junk. Oh, I still read my Bible. I still go to church. Yeah, but you're allowing other things in your heart. Do you remember when your heart was pure before God? I mean, I'm talking about you were into God. Like, I want Him. That's what I want in my life. Do you remember that? How long has it been since you felt that way? You see, David had a heart that was pure. And may I say that if we're talking about purity, I can't say that David's heart was always pure. In the sense of always open. Was it pure when he committed adultery with Bathsheba? No way. Was it pure when he hired someone or commanded someone to basically carry out a hit job on Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, so that we could cover the whole thing up and forget about it? It wasn't pure. But see, He is quoted, James is quoting David when he says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall come before his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. You see, in the Old Testament, believers were not sanctified and sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. They were not born again. They did not have the new nature of Christ. We, as believers in the New Testament, because of the work that Christ accomplished, we do have that. But we still have that old nature, just like David. We're capable of committing adultery and murder. You say, well, I would never. Yeah, but you know what? The Lord looks on the heart, doesn't he? And the Lord came to the self-righteous Pharisees and he said, here's your bar. Here's my bar. He said, if you don't commit adultery physically, but you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. Hello, pornographers. Amen. Hey, every time you look at that junk, you're committing adultery in your heart. You say, well, I've never murdered anybody. That's a pretty good standard, and thank God for it. But the Lord came by and he said, if you hate your brother, you may as well kill him. Because if the timing was right and the circumstances were right and no one ever found out, you would take his life. You would prefer that that woman or that man were dead. If you prefer that, you've committed murder in your heart already. You see, the human heart is capable of all kinds of schemes that no one ever finds out about. And we think because either A, no one will find out about it, or B, you think just the same, that it's somehow okay. But may I remind you that God is holy and pure. He is clean. You see, when you get cleaned up, when you get pure, you enter into a realm that you can never get into over here. When you're serving your flesh and you're living for yourself and you're arguing, saying, it's not that bad, I'll stop tomorrow, I know other people that do the same, all those things. You may have aspirations of being clean, but you can't be clean over here. You can only get clean as you get back to God. And he's waiting. He's bringing you in. Now, let's take some time here as we wrap up this morning. I want you to go to two places, Hosea and Titus. Hosea is found in the what's called the Minor Prophets before Matthew. Hosea and Titus. Hosea and Titus. You know, the scripture, the writer of the Proverbs, Solomon, asked this question. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Hosea chapter 3 and Titus chapter 2. It says in Hosea 3, then said the Lord unto me, here's Hosea the prophet, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel. This is a type who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an homer of barley and half an homer of barley. He's buying this woman to be his wife. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. And thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. Why is this? He's going to a sinner, a public disgrace in town. And he is going to bring her to himself. Why? Verse 1, because of the love of the Lord. God is using this as an illustration saying, I love you, Israel, but you've been serving other gods. Your heart is not pure towards me, but I am drawing you to myself. I want you close to me, but I can't have you committing adultery while you're close to me. I don't believe adultery is right. It's a sin. It's repugnant to me. You cannot be around me if you're going to be an adulteress, but I want you close to me. So leave your adultery and come towards me. Now look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse number 11. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that. Now we understand he's talking to believers. The salvation has appeared to all men. And what does it do? It teaches us, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, it's not just what we're leaving, it's where we're going. We're going towards purity. We're going towards the love of our life. We're going towards a pure and holy God. He says that will appear, Jesus Christ, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, peculiar has been used incorrectly for many years. Peculiar now means weird. Has nothing to do with that, except the possible connotation of unique. What peculiar means is belonging exclusively to one person. He is redeeming us from all iniquity, purifying unto himself a peculiar person. He wants his bride, he loves his bride, and the bride belongs to him and no other. And he says, when I watch you out there messing around with the junk and thinking I can try this and try that, and who says I can't? And I know Christians who do, and the Bible never says I can't. He says, come on, I love you. Be married to me. Care about me. I want you. Christian, he wants you. Do you want him? You know what purity is? Purity is saying no to anything else that's mixed in to a relationship with God. Not my ideas of a relationship with God, his idea. I'm not the groom, I'm the bride. Ephesians chapter 5 says he washes and purifies his own bride so that he can present his bride to himself, that not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He says, I want the best wife I can have. That's why I'm calling you away from your envy. And I'm calling you away from your binge eating and binge watching. I'm calling you away from your lying and from your anger. I'm calling you away from your bad attitude. I'm calling you away from your stealing, your theft. I'm calling you away from your bad language. I'm calling you away from your desire to cheat and get ahead. I'm calling you away from all that. Because why? There's nothing like that in me, Jesus says. And if you're going to hang around with me, I can't have that stuff. I can't have the lust, the sexual lust that permeates our culture. I can't have it. I can't have music that drives you to your passions, your desires, that focuses you on where you live and how you want to live. And I can't have that. I'm eternal. I'm holy. I'm gold. I'm pure. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Why? Because he's so much better. He's so much holier. He's so much cleaner and purer than anything that this world can offer. And you can say, well, I like this and I like that. And yes, you can. But have you ever run into Jesus Christ? If you've ever met him, I can tell you, this world has nothing to offer like the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When's the last time you felt pure and clean in your relationship with God? How long has it been since your heart was pure? Are you drawing nearer to God, or have you been drawn away of your own lusts and enticed? How real is the return of Jesus Christ to you? You know, we're not supposed to look for the Antichrist. We're supposed to look for Jesus Christ. Is that more real to you, or is it the birthday party coming up, or the promotion, or the house renovation, or the vacation coming up? Thank God all those things are there, but man, after you get through with them, they don't really fill you up, do they? All the fun stuff of this world, by the way, all unsaved people enjoy those things as well. But you know, there's something that's different about purity. There's something that's different about Jesus Christ. It is a fulfillment that God created you for. And he's calling you to it. But he's not going to let you wallow in your sin, do your thing, and call it righteous. He's too good of a God for that. He says, quit the junk, and we can hang out. Christian, where are you with that? Is your heart pure? I'm thankful to tell you this morning that David, though he committed two sins for which there is no sacrifice in the Old Testament law, God still forgave him and fellowshipped with him. And David said, Lord, my hands are dirty because of what I've done. But I want to come to you, and I want to wash my hands in the purity of your word. I want the sin and the junk that's accumulated over the last few weeks, Lord. I want to get rid of it. Will you rinse me off, Lord? Will you hose me down? Will you just spray that junk off of me, Lord? The Lord says, yeah, I'll do it. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You want to be clean this morning? The purity is available in Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads with me?